You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Well, he certainly had enemies. William Wallace, a real person, living back mostly in the 1200s. His earthly life ended August 23rd in 1305 in London because of what he had done. He raised armies against their reign in Scotland. Became a national hero. Turned out that Randall Wallace, who's still living in the United States, found out that he was a descendant of William Wallace. And he wrote, a movie, and I think it's a book, isn't it, called Braveheart. Braveheart is actually the name of William Wallace's broadsword. And when the movie ends, that's what you see laying in the field of a name that I probably can't pronounce there in Scotland. But it was really cool because they had all the dialects and everything, and they rode horses, and they had dirt on them, and they got in fights and stuff like that. But probably the biggest scene in the movie. And Randall Wallace was talking about filming that scene out in the field there with like seven cameras going, you know, and all these extras. They had tons of guys that were extras. He said most of them, we didn't even have to put any dirt on them. And he said they're all out there acting like kids. You know, they all got those plastic swords and weapons and stuff, and they're hitting each other over the head with it and all this stuff. And they had to get order and everything. But he said, man, I'm telling you, you got goosebumps when Mel Gibson's character comes riding into that scene, you know, on his horseback, and with the paint on his face and everything. And they were going back and forth about what it was going to cost them, you know. And here he says, and he delivers this line that just takes a few seconds, but it's very powerful.
Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
Has been said about freedom, and that was certainly appropriate, isn't it? Everybody's going to die. What are you doing in the meantime?
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
You're listening to an exclusive Cup of Joe Morning Show interview here on the Sound of Life.
Hey, is this Joe Hunter?
Yeah, it is Joe Hunter. Is this Laura Story?
It sure is. What's going on, man?
Hey, Smiley. I'm doing great. I hope you are.
I am. Hey, you don't sound like you're from New York.
I'm not. I mean, I live in New York, but I grew up in North Carolina.
No way. We're in North Carolina.
Greensboro.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a nickname, Laura, by any chance? Since I called you Smiley, I just being a smart aleck.
You know, I don't know if I do have a nickname.
Wow.
You might be starting something.
I might be. Anyway. I appreciate your call, and I tell you, Laura, I was thinking about how long you had been around, you know, and of course you get older, you know, it's, I say a few years, and it's really 8 years, but I guarantee a lot of people don't know you when you were with Siler's Ball.
Yep. I feel like that was a whole life ago. It's so funny that, just that I'm still doing this, because I quit that band, I was with them for 5 years. And I love those guys. Love them, love them, love them. Still good friends with them. And I told them, you know, I just really don't see myself doing music professionally. Like, I just don't see this being where, you know, the direction I want to go in. And now all of them, you know, have regular jobs, and I'm the only one that's still doing this.
That is funny, because coming from someone who won a Grammy.
I know, it's so weird.
You got to tell me about that. Was that your photograph that I saw eating the Subway sandwich on the trunk of the car?
Oh, absolutely.
That's cool.
We just found out we were having a baby, and I was just like ravenously hungry. Like, I was... I was so hungry. I was eating like every 2 hours, and we got there, and we've never been to the Grammys before, but all we knew is that we had to be there from like 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and so we got a ton of food that I'd shoved in my purse, and then we ate some some sandwiches in the parking lot before we walked in, and luckily there was food there, but it was a funny experience.
I'm so glad that we got a refreshing look about what a lot of the Grammys is like, you know, because we're used to seeing the red carpet and, you know, all those people, you know, and...
It was something else.
Would you do it again? Well, I guess you would do it again. I said, that's a prestigious honor, and especially, you know, in the, quote, Christian music circles, and being a woman.
Yeah, we were blown away by the whole thing. And the funnier part was we went to the ceremony and red carpet, and it was all, you know, all this hoopla. The after Grammy party, we walk in, and they literally have women dressed in bikinis with like these big headdresses on, like feathers coming out of their hair.
Oh Lord!
Dancing on tables.
Wow!
And I thought, I think I'm ready to go. This is certainly not the Dove Awards.
No, you can tell. Wow. Well, they are in a different world. That's
exactly. That's L.A. for you.
Man, I tell you. Now, did that come as a surprise? I guess it had to. I mean, how could you say it wouldn't? I mean, you know, because you're not in it to win awards, right?
No, it really was a surprise because, you know, we're just hitting the road in a big brown van traveling to churches doing ministry. That's what the greatest privilege is. That's the greatest honor, is that there's churches out there and colleges or whoever that have us come in and share what God's doing in our lives. And we really don't ever expect anything more than that. And so these awards are kind of, it's hard to know where their place is in all of it.
Right.
But what we've seen is that God has used the awards and whatever honors to give us more opportunities to share our story.
That's it. That's exactly right. And that's one thing that's important. You know, some great celebrities like Tony Dungy have mentioned that, Tim Tebow. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big sports fan. So, but they just realize that, well, you know what? God has given me this platform. And it happens to be right here, maybe in a big, getting an award on a big stage.
Yes.
So, you know, make the best of it. I mean, everybody's got a platform somewhere. So.
Well, it's the same with everything in our lives. You know, whether it's you're on a stage giving glory to God for what he's done, or whether you're, you know, changing poopy diapers at home as a mom, figuring out how to give God glory for what he's doing in your life. It's just a different venue for it.
Laura, I wanted to ask you a little bit about growing up in South Carolina. Were you in a Christian home that was big on music and stuff?
You know, I was in a Christian home, but really we weren't really a musical family. My mom and my dad both have well, you know, they're never going to hear this, so I can just be honest. They have nice voices, but no, we never had any singers or anything. My sister tried playing violin once, and that didn't go all that well. my brother's a musician as well, and he's kind of into like the fusion jazz.
Wow.
Grateful Dead kind of stuff. But yeah, we're not really a musical family. And honestly, I didn't even start singing until college. I just never, I didn't really have that great of a voice.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. So God has definitely, he put me in a situation where I was doing something I wasn't all that comfortable with. But God does that sometimes.
Do you have something else that you like, because people always ask this, you know, well, if you weren't a singer, what would you be doing?
That's a great question. I don't know. I don't really have any other marketable skills, so I don't know what my plan B would have been. I'll tell you, in high school, I was really involved with some, like, relief organizations, whether there was a soup kitchen in town that I really loved serving in. And I think I saw myself doing some sort of social work or doing some sort of nonprofit, I don't know, Peace Corps. I don't know what I thought I was going to do.
Very admirable.
Yeah, but I don't, because I always did have this desire to help people, whether it's, you know, in poverty situations or whatever it was. And it's very interesting because, you know, working at a church now, I do a little bit of that, but I'm in a church that's in a fairly affluent area.
Yeah, I thought about that. Perimeter Church in Atlanta. It's kind of named after the area of Atlanta.
Yes.
It's a perimeter. Right?
So. Yeah, it's like land of many Starbucks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of that's where we are. But what I'm finding, the thing that I probably am the most passionate about, whether it's through music or just through conversation, is talking with women about just the poverty of our own souls. You know, the fact that we're all a wreck without Jesus.
Right.
And there's so many women that aren't truly living out the promises of God, aren't truly experiencing the freedom that the gospel gives us as believers, and so I feel like I feel like it's kind of all a little bit of it's a different manifestation of what I thought I'd be doing, but it still is. It's about you know, bringing health and freedom. It's what I've found, who I've come to know Jesus as being. And getting to talk to other women about that.
May I just say that you have a great speaking voice.
Oh, my gosh.
You must have been told that.
Well, no way. I sound like a South Carolina redneck.
No. Oh, no, not at all. I mean,
I've never heard that before. That's great.
Well, be encouraged. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and you keep smiling and things. And that's kind of really what you're doing right there. The music's almost secondary.
Well, I feel like it is, and I really don't say this to downplay myself, but because music wasn't the primary thing for me, you know, some people grew up knowing that they would be singers, and I toured with Mandisa this spring.
Wow.
And she's a powerhouse. Yes. I mean, there's a reason why I went first, because I said I will not get up on a stage after she sings.
Well, you're smart, too, Laura.
I know. And for me, it's not as much about having a powerhouse voice as much as it is about having this ordinary voice that gets to sing about an extraordinary God. I feel like that's really the power of the message and the ministry God's given us.
What I got to ask you about this, Laura, and forgive me, but it's probably a funny story. Because I ask everybody this, whether you're a football player or a singer or whatever, did anything, and maybe not, but did anything ever embarrassing happen to you?
Oh, gosh. Every show I do, I feel like I've embarrassed myself.
Oh, stop. Now, you got to stop that.
I did a show, this is about a year and a half ago. Yeah, they usually, we'll be backstage, and they'll call my name out, and I kind of walk around the curtain. And well, this backstage area was literally pitch black dark. Uh-oh. They call my name, I start walking, and I hit a floor wedge monitor, just slammed my toe into it and literally fell flat on my face. And so they announce my name, and all you hear backstage is just this huge crack. And so I end up, after a few minutes, I limp on the stage, and they bring me ice, and I did the entire set with the, you know, ice compress on my toe. I was bleeding.
Oh,
I was
wow.
Like, the toe, let's go on. Let's keep at this. Yeah.
Wow.
I've had funny, funny things. I did something an outdoor event just the other day where it was so windy. I'd worn a skirt because I was trying to be dressy.
Yeah.
But they actually. They had to get gaff tape to tape my skirt down. And literally, I played the entire show with my skirt taped to my legs in order to keep it a family-friendly event. So
man.
Those are just a few of the... But those are more normal. Those aren't, like, out of the ordinary for us. That's just a normal Laura story, though.
I mean, for you guys to travel, I mean, it's a whole different ballgame now traveling around, isn't it? Do you think that?
Well, I mean... It's funny because we do such an assortment of different stuff. You know, sometimes we're on tour buses with like a private bedroom in the back.
Wow.
Sometimes I'm sleeping in the back seat of a minivan through the night as we drive to the next gig. So we are thankful to serve in whatever capacity. And so, yeah, it's always changing it up. And I think that it's just always remembering that, you know, that Jesus didn't, him doing ministry was riding on a donkey. Him doing ministry was washing feet. And so trying to keep the main thing, and not being more pretentious than the person we're actually going there to represent.
Wow, you got a great perspective. Now, how is, I don't want to forget
I don't always live that out.
Well, that's true.
But I try to.
See, that's amazing. Now, how's Martin doing, by the way?
Oh, he's doing really well. He is working on, he's doing an internship right now with our church, and this is the first...
That's interesting.
This is the, I mean, he's started working a little bit part-time and over the past year just with a few different things. And it's the first time he's worked in, I guess, five and a half years.
Wow.
So it's very exciting. You know, rehabilitation for him has, it's just looked, it's been a lot longer of a process than we ever imagined, but we're still seeing God healing. We're still seeing God growing and teaching us, you know, just kind of how to do life in light of disability.
Man, he must be thinking, if my wife wasn't Laura Story, I am so blessed to have her.
I don't know about all that.
No, really? That's what I'm thinking, man, because, you know, that could have been, wow, I don't even want to think about it, because I know you're very encouraging, and, you know, you're like the best situation for him.
Well, man, it is kind of neat that we, even though he hasn't been able to work, we began traveling together just immediately, because part of it, he couldn't be alone because of his brain injury. You know, all that at first. Now he can. But wow. That's how we started doing ministry together. And now we pretty much, you know, I can probably name on one hand the amount of gigs he's missed in the past 5 years. Right? We do it together. It's an extension of what God is teaching us as a couple, what God's doing in our lives, and it just feels very natural that he would be a part of it. Even though he's not an onstage part of it, he's always behind the scenes helping me.
Bring him out. Maybe he can do a song and dance or something.
Well, no, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Okay. Right. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Now, listen, the elephant in the room is about your birth of your child.
Oh, gosh, yes. Yeah, I'm due September 12th, but yeah, we're super excited. I mean, it's certainly a step of faith, because, you know, we prayed and prayed and just decided that's where God was leading us.
Uh-huh.
And so we're excited about it. I'm terrified, completely terrified, but, you know, God's in control, and we have a ton of friends that are promising me that they'll help me through the whole thing.
It'll be awesome, you know. That'll be pretty amazing. So you don't know boy or girl?
It's a little girl.
Really?
Yeah.
A little Laura Jr. No, I'm sorry.
Let's hope not. Let's hope she's smarter and better looking.
My wife's mother always said, I hope you have a daughter like you were someday, and I guess she did. So anyway, I hope that doesn't happen to you, but anyway.
That's hilarious.
That'll be okay. But I wish you blessings in travel. Is there something going on with you guys now that we could pray for you about, Laura?
Well, I'd say, I mean, just this new season of our lives, we're clueless. We don't know what it looks like to continue to do ministry on the road with a baby.
Yeah, yes. Right.
And I don't travel full-time. I work at a church as well, and so that makes it a little bit easier, but sometimes it doesn't, because sometimes we get used to burning, you know, the candle at both ends, and we know that this is going to need to look a lot different,
right.
But we're still not exactly sure what it's going to look like. So
right.
Just pray for wisdom. Pray for us not to overcommit ourselves, and just for us to stay healthy as a family, even as we do ministry.
That's a very good prayer, yeah. Okay. Very nice. And, you know, I'm very excited to talk to you, because I honestly couldn't believe I'd be talking to somebody whose the most powerful songs came out of them. How does that happen? No, I'm serious. I mean, the impact you have on people's lives, I know you got to be hearing this, because we hear it at the radio station. I just can't believe God uses songs like that to change people's lives. That's amazing.
Well, and it's a very humbling thing as well, because songwriting, any songwriters you talk to, you know, I could sit in a room and just pray that God would give me a song. I mean, I could sit there for weeks and him give me absolutely nothing. And then, you know, with blessings, I'm driving down the road one day, and all of a sudden God just kind of puts this idea in my head. And I'm scribbling it down, you know, on the back of a bank receipt. And there's no greater proof than the fact that to show you that songs are from God. And so it's a very it's, you know, when people go, oh, you're so wise to write that, it's like, no, it really is. It's just that God, it's almost like he allows us to be the first to hear it.
I see. Okay. All right. I know. That's well, that's what you said about indescribable, right? You were coming down a mountain or something, I think, and looking out, and that's wow-wee. That's pretty amazing. Thanks for taking time to talk to me, you know. And
absolutely.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.